Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Paul Enos, the CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Paul Enos. He is the CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Sammy, always good to be back and good to see you.
Thank you,
Sam. At your home studio.
Indeed.
Hey, what's up with all the pictures of the naked ladies on the wall?
Let's not go there, otherwise we're both going to end up in HR. That's what I'm telling you. So you've had a couple of weeks to digest this now. Tell me your thoughts on the tax reform bill.
So, Sam, I think anytime you're giving people back more of their money for them to make a decision, they're going to make much better decisions than the government is, you know, both personally and for their corporations. I mean, I think it was amazing yesterday. And I mean, this is great PR that the Republicans usually aren't very good at in terms of all these companies announcing, hey, we're going to give $1,000 bonuses. We're raising our pay for our frontline workers. We are putting money back into capital infrastructure. I mean, even companies like Comcast, you know, which isn't a big fan of Donald Trump, when you look at, you know, some of the outlets that that they own, seeing that investment go back into the economy, I think is a great thing. I know a lot of my members are looking at this, you know, having immediate expensing. This is going to be great for people to go out there and update their fleets. This is a great thing for our country, and I am really excited about it. I think that the only thing I would love to see, you know, on a personal side is have that tax be that those tax rates be permanent, you know, not have that increase in 2025. So, I mean, I guess we're dependent on future Congresses to do something, or, you know, we'll see if we can continue down this road of tax reform where it doesn't have to be a once in a generation thing where, you know, it's not some third rail or some sacrosanct thing that we never change, but that is actually dynamic as the economy is.
And reconciliation was the reason that they weren't able to make the personal tax cuts permanent.
I get that. I mean, it's so funny to listen to a lot of the criticism from the other side saying, well, there's going to be a tax increase. Sure, there is, you know, if you do nothing. And I mean, that is something previous Congresses have been very good at doing nothing. And so I'm glad that we have some action. I'm glad that we're moving forward. And a lot of the folks I represent are looking forward to this. This is going to mean more money in their pocket for companies that are operating on very tight margins. Being able to reduce that tax liability can only help them.
The head of Home Depot was talking right after this passed, and he said that he was looking at basically a 2% increase in their business. But for a company that does billions of dollars in businesses, that's a huge amount of money. Also, on that reconciliation thing, I think that down the road, it's going to be very difficult for any congressperson or senator to be able to say, I'm going to raise your taxes. And so I think that they will resolve that issue but beyond the reconciliation process. Okay, so
one would hope. You never know.
Well, that's true, but you know, let's look at it from a positive point of view. And I think overall, the benefits, I mean, I can certainly see all over the place, and we can get into some of those. On the other side, though, and Mark Amadei was joking.
We want more of your money. Mark, we want to redistribute it. And we want to take credit for all the money that we're going to give to all these other people that aren't earning it. Hey, you know what? I get that. I'm sorry. I'm a small town Elko kid. I represent businesses. I have that fundamental belief that individuals make much better decisions about how they spend their money than the government does.
Okay. On the other side of this, and as I said, as a businessman, I can certainly see all the benefits, and I think everybody in February is going to see an increase in their paychecks, or for the most part, and so that's going to be very good for Republicans going into the 2018 cycle. On the other hand, and Mark Amadei, joking on the program a couple of weeks ago, said that he welcomes Dina Titus into the deficit hawk category because she's now complaining about $1 trillion.
Well, I think it's so disingenuous for so many of these people that voted for, you know, shovel-ready Keynesian economics when Barack Obama was president to all of a sudden be deficit hawks today. So, you know, it is kind of funny to see him there. When you really look at it, we have deficits because we're not generating enough money in the economy. If the economy is taking off, and I mean, this new normal BS that Barack Obama sold us, you know, that we'll never have 3% growth again. Well, Donald Trump in his first year to see two consecutive quarters of over 3% growth is pretty phenomenal. So when you have an economy that is actually doing well, those deficits come down if we don't spend more money than we have. And I mean, that's always been the rub. You know, if we don't spend more money than we have, we're not going to create those deficits. We're not going to add to the debt. So having a strong economy, and part of having a strong economy, I think, is getting government out of the way, getting a lot of these regulations that are very costly, very burdensome to business, that are really productivity sappers, to be able to, you know, get rid of some of these things. You're really going to see this economy unfurl, and we've already seen it now. So I'm very excited to see where we're going. And you know, when the economy goes up and we're not spinning like we're drunken sailors, as they say, again, that's way better than drunken truck drivers. You know, to see that economic activity go up, I think we will see that deficit being reduced, just like we saw in the 1990s. You know, we had things like the internet come up, and we did have a deregulation environment with Bill Clinton and the Republican Congress, where we deregulated things like telecom and the banking system. We saw deficits come down.
See, and that's the pragmatic side of you, where you actually give credit to Bill Clinton, because, you know, during his presidency, and we have to accept the fact that economic actions that happen during a presidency are not necessarily that of the president in power at the time, but policies that were put in place years, if not decades ago.
Well, and I think a lot of what a president does, Sam, is he sets a tone, or she sets a tone. They set a tone. And if the tone is not you didn't build it, if the tone is you need to pay your fair share, and you know what a fair share is something that's always a moving target. If the tone is, hey, we want you to thrive, we want you to do well, we want you to pay your employees more, we want you to be part of this country, we want you to bring your money back to America instead of keeping it in these onshore banks, we want you to invest here in our country. I mean, to me, that's fantastic. That's what is going to make our country stronger. And it's very exciting to me to see that we have somebody who does have that business knack, that is in the Oval Office, and is looking at these things and, you know, making decision from the point of view of a business guy and not somebody who has, you know, been a career-long politician.
Let's also look at the other side of the coin here, which is during the recession, interest rates have been so low that for the average person, especially senior citizens who want to save their money and get a decent rate of return, they have totally taken this in the worst possible way. So to see the Fed now looking at the potential for inflation because our economy is already doing so well, you look at the amount of money that Apple is sitting on in cash, it's astonishing. And personally, I don't have a problem if big companies use their money to do buybacks on stock or increased dividends, because not only are Republicans shareholders, but regular people are shareholders. Business Absolutely. Organizations, unions all have lots of money in stock.
Yeah, government. I mean, government employees who have their pensions invested. No, this, you know, that is the rising tide that floats all boats, as they say.
Now, for
how many cliches can I use today, Sam? I think that's two, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm not counting, but I'll start now. But you know, I mean, you know, for a senior citizen who wants to be in a totally safe investment, a 5% return would be terrific, and. You know, it's going to take a while for the Fed to get there, but they're looking at the boost to the economy that this is going to have. And, you know, that's the reason that they've already plugged in three more interest rates for next year. And it'll be interesting to see where they leave the balance.
And see what it does to, you know, a person's ability to buy a home. And, you know, I mean, there's other ramifications you got to think about as well.
Yes, to say the least. And in booming Nevada, the income level required to buy a home is getting to be significantly higher than it was before. Let's take a break. More with Paul Ehos. If I could just get him to open up. We'll be right back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue with a conversation with Paul Ehos. He's the CEO and president of the Trucking Association of Nevada. It's interesting to see now where the Congress goes in terms of things like infrastructure. Certainly in Nevada, we need a ton of infrastructure, whether it be light rail, expansion of monorail in southern Nevada, the widening of I-80 in northern Nevada to deal with all the truck traffic that's coming from the booming TRI area. And Mitch McConnell seems to be open to at least having that discussion.
Well, hey, I think it's great. The president's also open that discussion. I mean, members of the American Trucking Association were there in the White House and talking about things. You know, when you talk about roads, and I mean, I really don't want to talk about, you know, light rail and, you know, some of that other stuff. I think it makes sense in some areas. I'm not sure how much sense it makes here in the West. But in terms of roads, you know, how do you deliver freight? How do you move people? Having that focus be on mobility, I think, is the important part. For too long, transportation policy has focused on other things that are disguised as transportation policy. You know, it could be environmental policy, you know, where, oh, we want to get people out of their cars and onto buses and onto trains, or it's, we want people to move out of the suburbs and out of the rurals and into the cities where they can walk to work or bike to work, where they don't need to use their car, or whether it's, you know, really people that are just looking at public works projects as job creators, and really they're short-term specific, you know, project-specific jobs, instead of how do we best move freight and move people. That's what I hope we get out of infrastructure plan, because for too often, you know, we put all of these other considerations ahead of mobility. The last president to really focus on mobility was Dwight Eisenhower. And we saw what happened with the creation of the interstate highway system. We saw what happened with the opening up of the St. Lawrence Seaway, where we invested in these infrastructure projects that really had a huge impact that we're still seeing today in our economy, and really, you know, allowed the trucking industry to better compete with the rail. When you look at 1950, about half the freight was moved by rail. Today, over 70% of the freight is moved by truck. You know, it's a lot more nimble. We can, you know, hey, there's absolutely a place for trains. There's a place for pipelines. There's a place for seaways. But trucks move everything. You know, somewhere, if you're moving something, you know, with the exception of, you know, maybe coal from a mine, you know, right to a train spur to a power plant, trucks are moving everything that we consume as individuals every day. So I hope that when we talk about this infrastructure plan, we find a smart way to fund it. And to me, the smartest way, and we always use, you know, we always use things as an excuse to do nothing. Oh, people are going to be moving to electric cars, or, you know, we need to get more people out of their cars instead of having a system that encourages people to drive. We need to raise a fuel tax. That is the best way, the most efficient way to pay for the system that we have today.
And the president is in favor of that.
Well, the president, hey, he's listening to us. He's the first president in a generation that hasn't said hell no to this. Bill Clinton, once again, Sammy, you know, last president that we saw fuel tax increase under in 1993. So we haven't had a federal fuel tax increase since 1993. I think it makes a tremendous amount of sense to say, let's choose a taxation system where 97 cents of every dollar goes back to the roads, goes back to building that infrastructure. So I'm hopeful that we do that instead of toll roads or VMT, or keep having this circular discussion about things that don't encourage mobility.
All right, more with Paul Enos when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Paul Enos. He's the CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. So here's the conundrum. The United States economy, thankfully, is booming. Unemployment rate is hovering around 4%, which in real terms is virtually no unemployment. There's jobs for pretty much anybody who wants to get a job, and especially here in Nevada, where we are seeing more and more projects coming online. Lance Gilman talking about a 60,000-acre project that's going to drop in January, that's going to be part of TRI and Azamara Ranch. I mean, that's two-thirds the size of Carson City. So it brings up the question of, we know the construction industry is already in dire need of workers. We know that the trucking industry is in dire need of workers. And yet, we have not done anything on immigration reform. But there is now talk at the beginning of the year of perhaps comprehensive immigration laws coming out in this next Congress. Do you see that? And what kind of immigration would you like to see? Because you need employees too.
Well, I'd like to see one that encourages people with skills to come into our country. So, you know, we can see that benefit as opposed to, you know, people that don't necessarily have skills and, you know, unfortunately can, you know, really create a cost to society. So, I mean, I want to see us encourage folks that have those skills that we need in this country. Truck drivers. We're 50,000 truck drivers short today.
So, for example, would you be in favor of somewhere in Mexico or Central America having a state-of-the-art truck driving training plant where people could go and learn to drive trucks, would learn how to speak English, know the road conditions so that everything was, you know, on top safety-wise?
Sam, I don't care. I don't care what a person looks like.
No, I understand.
Or where they were born. If they can come and, you know, perform any kind of skill, whether it's truck driving, whether it's computer programming, if it's something that somebody here can't do, if we have that shortage, I think that's, you know, I think that is something that we should look at and encourage. And I mean, to me, you know, that's really a merit-based system, right? I mean, it makes a lot more sense than some of the other things that, you know, we've done or haven't done in this country. So, you know, if we're attracting folks for the skills that we need to fill those jobs that we need in this country. And, you know, it breaks my heart when you hear about displacement. We're going to be displacing people because, oh, hey, the American's more expensive than somebody we can get from another country. You know, nobody wants to see that happen. I don't want to see that happen. You know, I want to see people who want to come here, who want to work hard, who want to contribute to, you know, not just our economy, but really the social fabric of our country, and participate in what is still the greatest country in the world in terms of being able to get opportunity and being able to, you don't want to let me finish my soapbox.
I'll tell you why, because I want to open this up to a wider discussion. Because yes, I agree with you that we want people emigrating to this country for all the right reasons, just as I did, to come to a better life, to contribute to the society and make America hopefully a better place because of people like me being here. But what I'm also looking at is when we have this worker shortage, when we need 16 people for every one person on Social Security to support that system, we shouldn't just be looking, I don't believe, at people coming here who want to become citizens or want to become the fabric of our life. I'm looking at, we have real needs in this country. Not everybody wants to come here for citizenship or to be necessarily a part of, you know, American culture in the same way. You know, we had the Brassero program where people came here.
It's again, Eisenhower program.
For a specific work need and then went back home. I think that, you know, we can have a dual track in terms of immigration where we have people coming here to work as well as we have people coming here who want to be citizens.
I don't disagree. And I mean, you want to see all that done above board.
Of course.
I think one of the problems we've had is you haven't had Congress act. You know, they've just kind of left this system alone once again for 30 years, making it, you know, very difficult to do things legally, whether it is to immigrate and become a citizen here. And I mean, there's a lot of people who have come here from other countries who are living here, who don't want to go back, but aren't legal.
Well, and here's the other part of that, which is, you know, people talk about a path to citizenship. How about a path to legality for people who have been here for a considerable period of time? They may not care necessarily about citizenship. We may not want to give them citizenship. But at least to give them the ability to not be faced with the only response is, well, you have to go back to your country of origination and apply again, get to the back of a line, because that's a 10, 20-year process. No one who is here.
Once again, the fact that it's a 10 or 20-year process, that just shows you the system is broken.
Yeah, to say the least. All right, obviously, much more to talk about in future shows, and we didn't even get to politics and
You know, unfortunately, well, Sam, Nevada, everything we're talking about has politics involved in it, right?
I'm talking Nevada election cycle politics, and it's going to be a very exciting year. Paulinos, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Happy New Year, my friend.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
One of the best ways to get Nevada Newsmakers is via podcast. You can get it from iTunes or Stitcher. Just search for Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you on the next show.